Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Next Level. I'm JVL. Before we get started, hit the like button, hit subscribe, follow us, all the things. And while you're at it, come over to thebulwark.com and check out all the stuff we do over there. We put out great pieces for free every day with no ads or anything like that. And you can sign up to get newsletters from me and Charlie Sykes. And we have podcasts. We have all the things. Go to thebulwark.com and join us. I am joined by my best friends, Sarah Longwell and Timothy Miller of The Bulwark. Guys.
Happy anniversary, best friend. Happy anniversary. 20 years. I saw a photo of you from your wedding day on Twitter earlier today. Yeah. You have
fascinating.
You've only aged like a week. I mean, I guess the hairline is a little different and hair color is a little different, but that skin, I don't know if you're moisturizing, but your skin looks similar. You might have even dropped a few lbs.
Just eating
more. You're looking great. 20 years. What's your secret?
20 years. The secret is marriage. The secret is being married to the right person. That's it. You marry the right person, everything else is great. It's like they say about jobs, right? You know, do a job you like and you never work a day in your life. It's like that, but with marriage. Anyway.
That doesn't sound right. That sounds like anniversary JVL, but okay, we'll take it.
Listen, I'm sorry. Thank you for starting us with sunshine, but we got to go to a dark place because earlier this week, a former president of the United States, a man who was often misunderstood and vilified by people who were deranged and couldn't stop being fixated upon some of his infelicities and his occasional crude tweets.
Faux pas.
That gentleman said that he wanted to be installed as president, even if it meant overturning parts of the Constitution. And this caused...
Wow.
I mean, people were shocked.
Poor Jimmy Carter. Are we really just putting him out there like that at this age, that he's making that kind of suggestion? I think that that's rude for whoever is Jimmy's handler.
All across the country, Republicans were shocked at this. And some of them were even able to say in written statements, which were center justified instead of left justified because they're animals, that they thought that if a person were to say that it would be bad. And that
this is Mike Brown's statement, right?
Yes,
Mike Brown's,
the Senator Mike Brown.
He said my statement in the tweet. He said my statement on the former president's comments.
Which former president?
I know.
Which one?
Carter, I'm telling you, Jimmy's been getting a little weird.
You're talking about Barack Obama.
Barack Hussein Obama.
Wait, can I tell you?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Well, I was just going to ask you guys, have we finally crossed the line? And now, finally, Charles Cook from National Review said, boy, are any of you guys sick of this? To which you replied, Sarah, maybe.
Guys,
that was the sickest burn I've ever seen. And something which is frankly bad for your soul. Underrated. No. It was the greatest tweet in the history of Twitter.
But I'm saying, like, people are not, like, it's such, okay. First of all, someone should have taken my phone. I didn't need to do this. And also, my big concern was that when I said maybe, that people would think that maybe I'm not sick of it yet. That actually I'm expressing an equivocation on whether or not I personally am sick of it. Because, of course, how you want to respond is, yeah, see, when we said never, in 2015, 2016, we might never, and you meant maybe. But instead, I just said maybe, because Charles Cook himself was the author. He typified that ability to say, you know, who can say about this guy yet? We just don't have enough evidence. He has not yet said, and to be fair to Charles Cook, he hadn't at that point done the coup. And he hadn't called for overturning the Constitution, and he hadn't lied about the election, except what he had done at that point was he had done, I mean, let's just go through some, I don't even know if I can remember them all now, it's been so long ago, but he had done Access Hollywood, so he had done some sexual assaulty, you know, locker room talk. He had stood on a stage with Vladimir Putin and cited against America's intelligence community. He had he'd been impeached once. Right? Already.
Yeah.
The Mueller report, which these guys all say, Russia, 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 it was all a hoax, found like 10 counts of obstruction. Okay. There was all the executive orders Muslim that ban. He issued. There was the Muslim ban.
Child what about separation? The time he said he was going to order American soldiers to commit war crimes and that he promised that the soldiers would obey him because he'd make them?
Oh, yeah. And he seemed to shoot immigrants in the leg.
He tear gassed the protesters so he could walk across to
What was that thing where he went to a foreign leader and demanded the foreign leader interfere in American elections, or otherwise he was going to withhold vital military aid?
But what about the North Korea leader that he said they exchanged words of love when he like murders his people?
In fairness to Charles, he's tired now. And it happens to be the case that like the person that he writes love letters to is the alternative, right? So it's a very convenient time for him to get tired. I mean, many other people have been tired for a long time, but he's gotten tired right now, right when his governor has a chance to be his replacement. I think it's good. Shouldn't we be welcoming his tiredness and saying, "Come on, Charlie, welcome aboard to the good ship Bulwark." No?
You know,
welcome
I will
to
say
your
this.
TDS. Yes, let me say this. He is bad. Yes, he's all a bad orange man. Thank you. We concur.
I have said over and over and over, over and over and over, that I hope that Donald Trump does not win the Republican nomination. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that if he were to win the Republican nomination, it would be bad for America, right? There is only one reason why I would want him to win the nomination.
Zero reasons for me.
And that one reason would be to watch all of these people go crawling back and then say, well, it is a binary choice.
That student loan.
I would like them to have to choke on the binary choice again. I'd like to watch them all go back and say, well, we'd have guardrails, and I mean, Joe Biden has been horrible. Look at him. Look at that student loan thing that he tried to do. Really, there's no difference because every single one of them would do that. Would do that, and I hope it doesn't come to that. It'll be very bad for America, and I will register as a Republican and vote for Ron DeSantis in the primary if I can.
We're not there yet. I'd just like to say,
but that said. That's the one part of me that does wish that Trump were to win the nomination because I want to see them all choke on it again.
I'm not willing to bet the country on our proving a point to them, so I won't
Twitter
do that.
Spite.
However,
you're not willing to play with the oldest, longest running democracy over a minor Twitter feud.
Minor Twitter feuds though. These are people like actually watching this right now, Tim. I did use restraint to not jump into the fight you were having with that other random anti guy who is suddenly like, Trump is an existential threat. And he's doing that thing like you have to get on board with DeSantis. Anything you do to crowd
when did
the
he become an existential threat?
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Oh,
did that just happen this week?
Yeah, the Constitution truth was it.
Like
was,
John C. Reilly. Did we just become best friends?
Thank you for not chiming in. And I have to, can I just confess something? We're here among friends at the Next Level podcast. I was having that fight. I'm almost too embarrassed to say this, but I need to do it. It's like confession. I don't do confession anymore. So I need you guys for my confessional. I guess JVL is the most Catholic in good standing, so I'm going to need you to give me some Hail Marys or, you know, Our Fathers here. I was having that Twitter fight while we were Christmas tree shopping.
What? No! Tim, you were, like, with your family?
Yeah, we were Christmas tree shopping. And
that's terrible.
And that is terrible.
And I was having that fight. And Tyler goes, asked me to go pull the car out. And I go to get in the car, and I sit in the front seat, and I look down, and he'd replied again. I was like, this fucking guy. And I start replying to him and typing to him. And I was like, did you support Joe? I was like, this is real now. Today is when you're demanding that this is a binary choice against Trump. And also, and Tyler calls me. He's like, are you ever going to pull the car around? And I was like, yeah. Took a minute. I was distracted. Sorry. No.
I'm stuck in traffic. Listen, I'm sorry, bud.
These guys literally are saying things like, if you don't support any alternative to Trump. And we're like, who was it that spent $40 million trying to defeat him while you guys all screamed at us? Like, who was it? Was it us that actually lifted a finger to defeat him while you guys yelled at us and told us that we were like rhino cucks, grifters, and everything else? I can't take it. So listen, this is petty. That's just said. It's petty, and it is very not. Petty. It's like to answer JBL's question. Do we not? I do not want Trump to die. I don't want anyone to die ever.
It's a disagreement we have on the podcast,
except for Hitler. You know, who people that Trump hangs out with seem to like very much these days.
Even though the microphone that you're using right now.
Right? Hitler invented this.
Invented it.
Pretty ungrateful of you.
And yet I feel like that is a bad, that's not enough for me. Sorry, Kanye. That doesn't, that in the highways. Okay. Anyway. Yes. We should all be on the same team nominally going forward of... But it is hard because we were all on the same team once before. And then we all watched them. Not only did they go to the other side, not only did they full on carry water for him, they spent the whole time shitting on us. I don't swear on these podcasts.
Still usually, do.
But nothing. And that's
I don't
right,
want to spoil things for you, but they have to keep doing that going forward.
No, that's right. Yeah. That's right. No, I get it.
Like, that's the other part of this deal is even if they try to dump Trump, they have to keep crapping on you guys.
It's fine. This is why I haven't been in yoga for a few weeks, which is why I was tweeting at the anti-antis at a Christmas tree place. So I'm going to do a yoga session tomorrow. It's going to be fine. It's fine. Whatever. He just wants to terminate the Constitution. You had that thing wrong. Terminate. Terminate some articles of the Constitution. But, you know, we're taking it a little seriously. A little too literally, I mean. Terminate the Constitution kind of like in general.
Could mean anything.
Yeah, it could mean anything. Right. I have a question for you guys about this. And this is my, I'm doing a poll on Not My Party this week for the teens to ask them what they want me to do. Like, what are we supposed to do about this? We talked about this a little bit last week with the Kanye dinner, but I mean, on the one hand, it should lead the nightly news, right? I mean, we don't, in the post-World War II era, you know, we haven't had any presidents suggest that we terminate the Constitution and make themselves dictator.
How candidates for president?
It'd be a first. We haven't had any candidates for president. We don't think we've had any senators or members of the House, I don't think. I don't think we've had any elected official at any level outside of like Lyndon LaRouche or something. I don't think Lyndon has, but someone, you know, maybe a gadfly. I don't think we've had any politician of either party suggest this. And this man was the former president. So it should probably like lead the nightly news, right? On the one hand. On the other hand, it's like, I really don't want to talk about him anymore. And
right.
So
well,
I just
you're
like,
tired of it, right?
Yeah, I'm tired. Me and Charlie agree on this. I am tired of it. And I've wanted it to end for a long time and tried to make it end. And so like how are you supposed to handle something of this? Because he's going to keep doing this, right? He's going to keep doing this.
Well, I don't know if you saw,
in a sane world,
I don't know if you saw, he walked it back. No, sorry. He didn't walk it back. He denied he said it.
Oh, he denied that he truthed it.
But that's perfect Trumpism. And he's helpful to his people, right? Because this is what he always does, right? He's on all sides of everything. And so, you know, he can say, look, I condemned the Proud Boys, right? And then the Proud Boys people know that he didn't really condemn them.
Yeah.
Right. And this is and so he's like, you know, he said what he needs to about the terminating of the Constitution. But then he also has given deniability to the people who then want to be able to point to and say, look, see, he never said that. It was a fake news media thing.
Yeah.
So this was like the first savvy thing he's done in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have him have been convicted and not have to deal with this, right? Because it is a legit question, right? It's like, should we even have to...
Tim, if the Democrats hadn't pursued such a partisan process, then maybe the Republicans could have done that. But they just... The Democrats, yeah, the way they conducted themselves during impeachment.
If they did it the right moment, the right day, like if they'd done the impeachment just in the exact second when it was politically viable... maybe they would have done.
Even though they didn't
convicted
wanna,
him,
they didn't want to take a couple of days after being attacked and having to be like in lockdown.
And Mitch McConnell took a vacation actually during that week. The Senate was out of session.
Well, I mean, John Bolton has had some very stern words for the way the Democrats conducted that impeachment process. Timothy,
why can't we just be in a world where everyone is like, Nazi dinners bad, terminating the Constitution bad? Let's all move on. Right, like that would be nice, but we can't do that. They're preventing us from being able to do that because that's not strategic. They don't. That's not the right thing. You know, we got to just ignore. You know, what?
That's not the problem, Tim. That's not the problem. The problem is that some significant percentage of the country, and the three of us can argue about how big it is, but let's call it 30% of the Republican Party. Right, which is 30% of the Republican Party is a significant percentage of the country itself, right? It's like, right. A significant percentage of the country wants this. And that's the problem.
This is the story I was trying to tell you earlier. The story I wanted to tell you earlier was that I was on C-SPAN this weekend.
Missed that.
It was on Washington Journal on Saturday. And...
while your family was shopping for their Christmas trees?
No, they were doing something else. I don't know. It's a nice Saturday morning. And the way I chose to spend my Saturday morning, 9 a.m., I was sit down on Washington Journal, and I was talking about the focus group pod. You know, I was talking about why the focus groups and the voters and the moving on and whatever, but at some point we moved to the callers. And I had mentioned that it had been ill-advised for the president to have dinner with a noted anti-Semite and a self-pronounced white nationalist. At some point I did get a little ramped up. One of the callers felt like I had said that, you know, I suggested voters thought this was not good, not something. And he called up and he said, you know, I think not good is not a big enough, whatever. And I was like, well, you know, I was characterizing broadest swath of voters. But yes, actually, this is part of the problem is that you do have to sort of condemn this full throatedly and Republicans aren't doing this. And I got rolling. I got rolling on the idea that, like, in the year of our Lord 2022, it is actually insane. It is insane to think that the former, most recent past president just had dinner with this anti-Semite who then afterwards tweeted out a Star of David with a swastika in the middle. And that the other guy is like, I'm not calling him a white nationalist to be like extreme or to amplify it. Like, that's how he talks about himself. He holds white nationalist conference. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this anyway. So I get rolling and I do this whole thing about how this is unacceptable and we should not accept this. And, As I wind down, next caller says, well, I know after that rant that this lady is a communist. And then he yelled at me. And multiple people did this. When he got done yelling at me, the host was like, any response? And I was like, I kind of...
Sir, before you hang up, go drive into a tree.
Nope.
Did you say that?
No, I didn't. No. I began
that's,
to...
That's a good response.
I began to respond to with a... Okay, I sort of was like, okay. Like, I've been a Republican my whole career. Like, whatever. Comments. But then I was like, you know what? Actually, stop. Sorry. I'm not going to dignify this name calling with a response. I did something like that. But the point is, many callers called up to tell me how great Donald Trump was and how he's the only president who ever has kept his word, who has done anything... And I was surprised how many people were continuing. And actually, at one point, the host interrupted one of them and said, yes, but sir, what do you make of the fact that he had this dinner with people? And the guy said, well, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
I have a question for you. Is this just enough to make you just say, you know what? I am a communist. You're right. Bring in communism. Where is the hammer and sickle? You know, I mean, these guys, they've been calling us, you know, that's what the other guys say, right? They've been calling us racists and Nazis. They've been calling us racists and Nazis all these years. You're right. Fine. I am a communist. Okay. Heil Lenin. Always love Lenin. V.I. Lenin. It's been a big, big fan. Not I am the walrus Lenin. V.I. Lenin. Huge fan. No? Did you consider that? You got
I didn't consider
communist.
That. I didn't consider that. But I use it as a – look, I think we don't have to argue over how big it is because I don't think we know yet. I think obviously Trump is in a much weakened position. But I was a little surprised how many calls I was getting with people who were still very attached to Trump, very much interested in – and it was certainly not disqualifying that he had done these things.
No, and there are a whole bunch of people who are – just the real team players, right? The always Republican types who are just going to suit up for anybody no matter what. And when Trump is ever in a position where the evil fake news media and woke socialist Democrats are on one side of an issue and Trump is on the other side, they're just going to side with Trump reflexively, whether it's the Kanye stuff or whether it will be the debt ceiling fight or whether it will be an indictment from the Department of Justice. Right. And because there are a bunch of those people, Republicans aren't going to be able to attack Trump on this. Right. I mean, think about this. Donald Trump may be indicted while running for president, and his rivals will not be able to use that fact against him. His rivals, in fact, will have to testify to how innocent he is and how corrupt the Justice Department is.
Just think about the Constitution, just point as a prime example of this right now, this whole thing. The number one issue for Republicans right now on Fox News and Republican commentators is the threat of the big tech media to our sacred Constitution, right? Like our First Amendment rights are being abridged. It's every hour on Fox is about this right now, in the big tech. Kevin McCarthy is planning on doing a reading of the Constitution when the House convenes in January. And yet, you know, minus a few, you know, very tepid statements, like there is no ability or forget appetite, ability to attack Trump on this, right? Or for fear of you losing all of your credibility with the base. So like this is Trump went right at the prime issue right now, ostensibly, like the performatively prime issue of the Republican Party, which is the protecting the constitutional rights that are supposedly under threat from the big tech wokesters. And like nothing. They can't even fight him on that point. They had to kind of be with him and be like, yeah, you know, and again, a couple articles.
And this is because there's some large percentage of voters who are with him and they can't get crosswise with those people.
Yeah, please.
All right. Have we chewed this through enough? Can we move on? Because I want to talk about the big tech woke mind virus Twitter thing. But I want to talk about Bowl and Branch, our sponsor. I started my Christmas shopping this weekend. I don't know about you guys. It's a little late for me. Normally, I like to be done by Thanksgiving. But this year, I was out. And so I was doing a bunch of shopping this weekend. And there were a couple people, will remain nameless, who were a little hard to shop for. And what I did was I waddled my little fingers over to bowlandbranch.com. I didn't even have to leave my house. I could just do it on the interwebs. And I got the best sheets I've ever slept on, full of long staple cotton.
Supple.
They're substantial yet supple.
Very supple.
Supple. And they're just perfect. They're well-engineered sheets that are incredibly comfortable. And it's the kind of luxury that somebody who has never had great sheets before will taste and then think to themselves, where have you been all my life? So I heartily recommend it. Today, you can bring home a better night's sleep for the holiday season with Bowl and Branch bedding. For a limited time, get 20% off your first set of sheets and free shipping when you use promo code NEXTLEVEL at bowlandbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BOLLAND branch.com. Promo code next level. 20% off is a pretty good deal.
For Sarah's purposes, could we, before next week, do a little recon on like when the last day you could order your Bowl and Branch gift is and have it still make it there?
Yeah, this is true. The fact that you've started Christmas shopping is like, I don't even understand. Like, I don't understand people who don't just...
What?
You got to panic shop on the 22nd or 23rd. And then be really mad and start complaining about supply chain issues and all of that when you can't get anything delivered by the 24th when you need it.
Who's doing most of the Santa shopping in your family?
Well, Santa.
I don't understand the question.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Who's writing the letter between you and Karen? Who's writing the note to Santa at the North Pole and kind of putting
Santa
in the requests?
It is not me. It is not me. Although I have some specific things that I'm attached to getting. There are like a couple things. Like my kid really wants a leaf blower.
Ooh, I have some experience with those.
I actually think my kid might be like a 90-year-old man. So the other thing he wants is a metal detector. So he can go out, and they make them for kids. Ooh. So you could like go out and, you know.
Oh, they're cool. Especially fun on the beach when you're a kid.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that leaf blowers are good for the environment. So that's something you might want
to
look at.
Well, to make them light enough for a small child, I think there's like there's ones that have like a little battery pack or
battery power.
He can borrow mine. I have a steel BR-700, which shoots out close to 1,000 cubic feet of air per minute at like 214 miles.
We've gone to the bad place now. He's talking dad stuff.
All right. So Twitter files. Elon Musk with his friend, my neighbor, actually, Matt Taibbi. So I live in a normal person, New Jersey town. Matt Taibbi, the great socialist champion, lives in the most expensive and fanciest town in our county in New Jersey, which is, I guess, not a sign that he's a grifter or anything.
Well, you should go Halloween. Next Halloween, you should go to his house.
Yeah, I should do that.
That's some good stuff over there.
Such an interesting guy.
The rich neighborhood, though, they give out the best candies, you know, the full.
So the fearless journalist, Matt Taibbi, is doing PR work for Elon Musk and spreading. Tim,
yep.
Can you just, for the five people left in America who haven't heard this, can you just give them the 30-second overview of this, please?
sure, I'd love to do that for you. People might remember in October of 2020, there was Rudy Giuliani, Steve Bannon, and a blind computer repairman were shopping around a few documents that they purported to be from Hunter Biden's laptop. Outlets from the Wall Street Journal to Fox News and other woke liberals rejected it because it seemed very suspicious that drunk Rudy and this blind man were passing around this material. The New York Post, on the other hand, decided that they thought it looked like it was in ship shape. So they wrote a story about these documents. The lead reporter on the story wouldn't put their byline on it because they weren't 100% sure that it was true.
Because it was so good?
Yeah, no, because it was they weren't certain that it was true.
I see.
So Twitter...
I'm sorry, Tim, you know more about media than I do. Is it normal that a paper has the lead reporter on a story saying, hey, guys, I don't know if this is true, and the paper then says, no, we have to publish it?
Yeah.
Or does it go
in the reverse most of
the time?
That's abnormal. Yeah, it's usually the other way around.
Yeah, because that's my understanding is normally it's the reporter saying, I've got this stuff, you've got to publish it, and it's the paper saying, well, have you asked everybody twice?
Have we confirmed?
Have you dotted all your I's and crossed your T's?
So then they put a different person's name on there. That's another kind of unusual thing. So Twitter looked at this information, and I think even at the time, wrongly, but defensibly, decided that they're like, we think this might be hacked. This might be another Russia hack job. We already got fucked over by the Russians in 2016. We're going to de-link this link. That was a decision they made.
Mm. And so nobody in America could see it.
Well, Facebook and Google both allowed people to see it. And the New York Post is one of the top five biggest newspapers in the country. So I do think that people...
Oh, but you couldn't get to the news. You couldn't get to the New York Post website, right?
That's you could. You just Twitter. Go to New York Post, nypost.com. Really? Yeah, nypost.com. Oh. So there's plenty of access to it. And so...
Well, that's weird, man.
About 36 hours later, Twitter changed their mind. And said, yeah, you know, we got over our skis on this. There were some internal emails where some of the people come off as kind of lib in wanting to keep it delinked. Other people come off as quite prudent, trying to determine what the right thing to do is. 36 hours later, they allowed the link back on the site. And turned out that actually, against all odds, the blind repairman did have Hunter's cracked out laptop, it seems like, which, I don't think even Steve Bannon and Rudy were sure it was really true when they were pushing it, but it did turn out to be true. And so now, in the benefit of hindsight, you know, that decision looks even worse. The former CEO, Jack, has testified in front of Congress saying, I thought this was a fuck up. We turned it around 48 hours. We've put in some new protocols. And, I don't know. In some ways, it's kind of a no farm, no foul situation. I think their ban brought a lot more attention to the story, really, because there was like the Streisand effect.
Isn't it true, though, Tim? Isn't it true, though, that there's been some very sophisticated modeling which shows that first 36 hours on Twitter was the crucial period for 7 million voters?
I don't think that.
And that if If 7 million people had gotten that in that first 36 hours from Twitter only, then they would have voted differently.
I don't think that modeling is true. And no? I do think that, if anything, it brought more attention to the story. That said, was a fuck up. Was fuck up by the Twitter. Okay, so now we fast forward 2 years. And Matt Taibbi and Elon Musk have decided that they want to release all the files about this to demonstrate that the big tech media is out to get God-fearing Americans and contrarian crypto bros and other tech bloggers. And so Matt Taibbi did a very extensive thread that basically revealed two things. One, everything we already knew about what I just said, but all the internal emails explaining the internal corporate goat rope of people being like, should we delink it? Should we put the link back up? What the fuck should we do? Where's the trust and safety guy? Oh my God, we're a big corporation. We're screwing up and everybody's criticizing us. What do we do? Okay, so they released all those emails. And then he released another series of troubling emails. And these were from the Biden campaign. He notes that the Trump campaign also sent very similar ones, but he didn't share them, to Twitter, suggesting that certain tweets be taken down. Now, this could be problematic, right? You might think, politicians shouldn't be telling companies what to take down.
Biden campaign. I mean, Joe Biden was president then, right? And you had the president.
He was a private citizen. Oh. So you should not be able to do that. Okay. So
he was running for president.
He was. But Trump also sent some things. So Matt Taibbi put up a screenshot of some of the tweets that Biden's team suggested be taken down. Some sleuths, internet sleuths, went to the Wayback Machine, looked at those tweets, and they were all basically pictures of Hunter's cock.
Oh,
I mean, there were some other things in there. Some of them were Hunter's cock and family pictures. Some of them were Hunter's cock and other women's vaginas. Those women probably didn't appreciate being on the internet against their will. Some of them were Hunter getting his feet rubbed while he smoked crack and while you could see the outline of his cock. It was mostly his cock. And people then and Twitter decided to take those down because Hunter could send a tweet out of his genitals if he wanted to. That's allowed on Twitter.
Can you?
Yeah, that's allowed on Twitter. You can send out a cock shot. Yeah. We're going to get you on alt Twitter. Tell you, we'll talk about that another day.
shockingly, dick pics are not something that I would.
I thought that Twitter was like Instagram, that you couldn't. No, that's not true.
No, Twitter doesn't take down points. You can put up your own. If you want to do just a Twitter search for yourself, I bet you could find one pretty quick. But if you want to do that yourself, Twitter's decided that's okay. What you can't do is, you know, you can't take somebody else's penis and put it on your Twitter page against their will. That breaks the terms of service.
Because that's censorship.
That breaks the terms of service. So Twitter took down those.
But what about, isn't that free speech?
It is not, actually.
Isn't your publishing of somebody else's photos free speech?
I don't believe so. No. And so Twitter took those down. And now there's this big hubbub. Some of them were by famous people, or formerly famous people, like the former actor James Woods. And these people are now, James has been on Fox a bunch. And these people are upset that those links were taken down at the request of the Biden campaign. And so, in short, the story is that Elon Musk has revealed that everything that Jack already apologized for about taking down the New York Post story is true. And that in addition to that, Twitter has took down pictures of Hunter's penis at the request of the Biden campaign. That is the number one story on Fox News for the past about 96 hours now. How's that summary for you, Sarah? I know that you're more of an outsider to this.
I don't know why. Like, mainly, I don't care about the president's kids, even the other kids, Trump's kids.
You read a lot of Eric content, Eric Trump content, Eric and Lara.
No. And, you know, it's like I scan it, right? Like, I do know, because it's, like, in my feed that apparently Eric Trump is defending and saying that the family does not think Kimberly Guilfoyle is wheeled. But, like, okay, I just, like, picked that up in a scroll. The same way I have picked up in a scroll that, like, something was going on with Hunter. I did know that there was genitalia involved, but I didn't know why. And I didn't try to understand, because I just can't get myself to care about this stuff that much, but I'm really glad you explained it.
Well, that puts you very out of step with the Republican base, right? Because this has been an extremely important First Amendment constitutional issue for people that cared very deeply about the protection of the Constitution and all its articles.
Is the way that you presented it, not that I'm doubting your objective truth about this, but, like, is it all the genitalia, or were there other things that people are mad about?
Taibbi only has, we only know what he has given us, right? So I'm sure that Twitter deleted other things, right? I think that conservatives are upset that, like, you know, Fart Muncher 42 like got banned because he tweeted, you know, something about Hunter Biden smoking crack, maybe, or, you know, who the hell, or sent a racial slur out in a tweet that was otherwise substantive about the nature of Hunter Biden's work with Burisma. I'm sure that there are other, and Twitter tweets a gazillion, deletes a gazillion tweets a day because fucking the world is fallen and there are a lot of sinners and a lot of people break the terms of service. So I'm sure there were other things, but the examples that they provided, that Matt Taibbi provided, of the tweets that were deleted at the Biden campaign's request, all of them that we can find in the Wayback Machine, there are one or two that have disappeared from the internet, but all of the ones that we can find in the Wayback Machine at least include Hunter Biden's genitalia. They also, some of them include other things. And again, me and Glenn Greenwald just got in a fight about this on Twitter. Well, during the workday, not while I was Christmas tree shopping. And again, he is like trying to be like, you're trying to minimize this by making it all about the dick tweets. But like the big story is the New York Post delinking. And I keep going to Glenn like, I agree with you about the New York Post delinking. But you know who else agrees with you? The former CEO of Twitter, Jack, who changed the policy, apologized for it, testified in front of Congress, apologized for it. And you know who else agrees with you? The new CEO of Twitter, who's taken over and is obsessed with this issue and is changing. Like, what more do you want? Do we need to have a public filleting of Jack Dorsey? Like, should we bring him in the town square and whip him a few times? Should the government take over Twitter? Like, what do you want? You
know, Glenn is just trying to have a good faith, honest debate about media and technology. I mean, that's all Glenn
wants. So there were some people at Twitter that got a little hot on the banning of that New York Post story. But okay, humans fuck up sometimes. Like, they fixed it. It's been 2 years. It's been 25 months. So I do think that, I guess, if you had someone on like Eli Lake or Glenn here who could probably give you some more in-depth commentary about the other, like, oh, Tim, if you read this email from the lawyer to the trust and safety team, you would see that they weren't even following their own policies. And boy, do we really care about following policies in the letter of the law, as evidenced by our support for Donald Trump. So, you could paint a more damning picture than the one I just painted of Twitter. But like, it's all about that New York Post issue, which I already have apologized for. The new information that they tried to make a big deal out of was that was this Biden communicating to Twitter about certain things they wanted deleted and Twitter deleting them. And they were like, well, this proves that they're taking instruction from the Democrats. But it's like, okay, well, maybe, but let's see an example of that doesn't include Hunter's penis. Because I can tell you, if George P. Bush's balls were all over Twitter when I was working for Jeb, I very easily could have contacted Twitter and been like, please take down the pictures of George P. Bush's balls being tweeted by White Genocide 62, and they would have done that. And it wouldn't have had anything to do with liberal bias. Like, that's just Twitter responding to their terms of service.
So, Sarah, do you think any of this catches on anywhere outside of the very online right? Like, can Fox successfully mainline this into, like, the actual normal, you know, Fox watching Bubba?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not the particulars, because if you knew the particulars, it sounds like you might not think it was such a big deal. But the ball of grievance, right, which is big tech censoring the right.
The balls of grievance.
Yeah, the big ball of grievance. As well as the fact that
Hunter Biden.
The Hunter Biden.
2020 was stolen.
The fact that Hunter Biden himself. But here's the thing. Like, when I talk about Trump's kids worked in the White House. Like, Jared was his, like, shadow chief of staff running. He got billions of dollars from the Saudis. And, like, and I think it's insane that he had his kids working in the White House. Just insane. But like, other than that, I don't care about them. But they were actually installed in the White House. So like, Hunter Biden doesn't work in the White House. And unless somebody has, which I cannot follow the ins and outs of the Hunter Biden's life, but unless somebody has some evidence that whatever Hunter Biden was doing is somehow linked to Joe Biden participating in corruption, it's just noise. But to your answer your question, of course they will. It's what they've got. You got to understand how both sidesing This is happening in Georgia, right? Unfortunately, we are taping this on Tuesday, and so we do not have the results of the Georgia runoff. But one thing that is amazing is the human being's ability to look at Herschel Walker and say, okay, he states an unequivocal pro-life position. In fact, no exceptions for, you know, rape and incest. Yet has apparently been accused, allegedly, of paying for many abortions. He has not allegedly, definitely has children that he did not recognize, that he fathered out of wedlock. He has his own son who spoke out in terror of him from violence and had to move. His ex-wife has testified to him putting a gun to her head.
Did you see today that he, in an interview with a local paper, thinks that he's running for the House?
I did see that. The House. Yeah, it's great. And then there's just like the general not being qualified for the job. Anyway. But also Raphael Warnock, when he got divorced, there was an incident in which his ex-wife accused him of running over her foot with the car pulling out of the driveway. The police and the paramedics came. They did not find evidence of this, but she accused him of this. And so you see both sides the same. And that is how people say.
This is what you're hearing in focus groups. You're saying that people are a little. This is what I'm hearing.
It is. Yeah. That's right. And this is how both sizing works. Right. So like Trump is the most corrupt leader in history. The amount of corruption, like just the sheer volume of it, is so insurmountable, so difficult to even get your head around. I could rattle off a few right now. Things like having the Secret Service and everybody and all these foreign dignitaries stay at his hotels, for example, the dealings with foreign leaders, Jared installing his kids in the White House, like just staggering amounts of corruption. But that's why Hunter Biden's so important, right? Because you got to both sides. These guys are equally corrupt. And that's how you do it. And it works in a lot of ways.
What Republicans, I think, maybe don't fully appreciate is that elevating the Hunter Biden stuff doesn't help Ron DeSantis. It helps Trump, right? Because Trump is the victim of Hunter Biden. Trump is the one who was done dirty by this. And Republicans have talked themselves into believing that what their voters want is a forward-looking vision of the future. I do not know what Republican Party they are watching. The Republican Party voters wanted the Whitewater investigation. They wanted the Arkansas files during the Clinton years. They were obsessed with Barack Obama's birth certificate for all of his presidency.
Did you see the oh God, I'm having a senior moment. What's the guy's name at New York Magazine does the interviews? Isaac Chotiner. Did you see his interview with like that with the head of some Republican Jewish organization in New York who's
no.
trying to explain his defense of Trump. And then all of a sudden, the guy just starts volunteering, going down the... I still do have some questions about why Linda Lingle was blocking the birth certificate. And Isaac's just like, dude, just stop. You're going to make yourself look bad. And he's like, you will not tell me what to talk about. And the guy goes on. So even today, even many years later, still they're not 100% sure about the long form.
Anything that is backwards looking helps Trump.
You know, that's a good point. But I will say this is a big part of the Hunter Biden thing, as best I can tell, is that they think that when right, 'cause the idea of the election being stolen has become a very broad interpretation of what it means to be stolen. And one of the ways it potentially was stolen in their minds is that if that Hunter Biden information had not been suppressed by Twitter specifically.
Yeah.
That would have meant that Joe Biden would have lost.
That was the key 36-hour window when millions and millions of Americans were looking to make their decision.
Well, I do think that was their supposed to be their like October surprise, right? And as a result, and so this is, if I had to make a charitable defense of them, my argument would go something like, by Twitter casting doubt on its authenticity, it never got taken seriously by the mainstream media or anybody else. And so nobody really looked at it, and it wasn't given any credence prior to the election. And now it's all turned out to be true. And so our grievance is that it would have changed the outcome of the election. It's a tough counterfactual.
I mean, again, it was covered at many, many places. I had the New York Post question their own reporting. New York Post's own reporter questioned it. It was a very unusual story. The news isn't clean. People don't just realize, like, immediately, you know, in complex stories, what all the truth is. Like, it takes time. Fox didn't confirm the New York Post story for 2 days. Twitter had relinked the New York Post story before Fox confirmed that one of the emails was accurate. So, like, I guess Like, that's a fair complaint. I'm sorry. The Twitter was unfair to you for 36 hours, but like...
Yeah, what I meant is, like, we can't know.
I think we can know.
We just...
I know.
Right. Well, this is what I'm saying. It gives another out to the... Right. Isn't this where Blake Masters has gone? Right. Blake Masters has moved on to the, well, look, everybody knows the election wasn't fair because Big Tech had it in for President Trump. And now they get that proves the election wasn't fair.
This is the thing that pisses me off, though, from my time and talking to like these voters in Arizona. It's like, it's a fucking, like, they're playing a game. Like Blake Masters is a smart person playing a word game. You know, trying to like be very careful about what he means by the election being stolen. But the people listening to him aren't hearing that. Like they aren't hearing that, oh, that, you know, Twitter was a little unfair to Donald Trump, right? Like that's not how they're processing it. They're processing it as they stole this from us. We won. We were heading to this great MAGA future and these shadowy elites. Rob, that's how the people, if you ask them, like what they, you know, like they're not catching his little fancy wordplay.
I don't want to shock you here, but I get the sense that Blake doesn't really care too much about the what happens to the people who listen to him. He just wants to vote so that he can get stuff. Like this is, you know, I would say he's not overly concerned with whether or not people parse him the way in which connects them or disconnects them to reality.
The good news is my friend Teddy Schleifer over at Puck reported that Peter Thiel has a sad about Blake's loss, and he's just not sure he's going to contribute any more money, and he's in a dark place about the political.
He's going to have to drink the blood of 10 new boys. All right, the primary calendar is finally maybe being fixed by Democrats. Biden wants to center it around Michigan, Nevada, and South Carolina, which A, seems to make sense.
New Hampshire is still in there.
Is New Hampshire in there, sort of?
Yeah, New Hampshire's still in there.
Anyway, the Iowa caucuses, have people forgotten what an absolute clusterfuck they were last time around? Where nobody actually knew who won the Iowa caucuses. And I think to this day, nobody knows.
Pete was robbed.
Pete won.
He did win, but he won narrowly, and nobody knew it for so long that like it was too deflating. He didn't get the bounce. He didn't get the mo that he could have gotten out of there.
So unfair. You know, it was Big Tech. Big Tech conspired to keep Pete down.
Did you hear me say mo, Tim?
Yeah.
No.
The big mo. Yeah.
I'm not following.
That's a Bush thing.
Oh God. I can't explain this joke to you.
No.
Like okay. Well, Larry anyway.
It was a gay joke. It was a gay joke. I was just.
Oh, like homosexual.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because Pete. He didn't get the
Pete's
big mo.
Homosexual.
Can you say that? Can you say that?
Got it.
Anyway, what do you guys think of this? I am in favor of it because Iowa's caucus system is ridiculous and Iowa's a weird state. And I don't know. Like, I've spent a lot of my life, as you have, Tim, driving around Iowa and New Hampshire during election time. There are many things which I liked about those states and those primaries and caucus, which were interesting. But also, on the other hand, like, I don't think it's served the Democratic Party very well in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, good riddance to Iowa, as far as I'm concerned. I have a soft spot for New Hampshire. I think that I do.
Because you're a Republican who likes squishes. And Republican squishes do well in New Hampshire.
That's part of the reason why. Yeah, no doubt. But it also, you know, independent voters, good to vote there. And there really is a level of engagement among people in New Hampshire, not throughout all parts of the state, but in certain parts of the state that is not paralleled in other states. And even in Iowa, there's a kind of more than in other states. Like Nevada, I don't love Nevada's just being involved in this at all. John Ralston, Nevada's had a few tries. No, they also don't seem to know how to count votes in Nevada. Nobody cares at all. It's a very transient state.
It's a transient population, right?
Yeah, it's a transient population. It's not a community oriented. So I don't love Nevada. Yeah. I think moving South Carolina first makes a ton of sense. I mean, South Carolina has been the state that has mattered for Democrats. Black voters, it is the Democratic coalition, right? It's black voters and like suburban Charleston, right? Like that's who's represented there. So it's represented a coalition. Selfishly, I think that it will have a moderating influence. to move away from caucuses and towards a primary first, which is good. So I think it makes sense. I think Michigan makes sense as a substitute, and Georgia as well. So I like it on balance. I like the moderating influence. I like the diversification. I don't want Little New Hampshire to get screwed, because I do think there's something special about New Hampshire as far as like the level of the engagement of the citizenry. But as it currently stands, I think the plan is to do South Carolina on a Saturday, New Hampshire on a Tuesday, and then whatever, I think Nevada and Michigan are the next Tuesday. I mean,
New Hampshire has not been at all predictive of Democratic nominees over like the last 20 years.
True. That's a true statement.
I mean, it wildly out of step with where the Democratic Party itself is, which is kind of a problem.
Yeah, fair.
Sarah, do you have thoughts on this? You look bored.
No, there is breaking news that a Manhattan jury has found the Trump Organization, their companies, guilty on multiple charges of criminal tax fraud and falsifying business records connected to a 15-year scheme to defraud tax authorities by failing to report and pay taxes on compensation for top executives. The Trump Corp and the Trump Payroll Corp were found guilty on all charges they faced. Donald Trump and his family have not been charged in this case, though.
Oh, so they're total exoneration.
That is great news. Cheers to you guys. I'll have a cocktail after this. And the Trump Corporation stuff to me has always been like, you can't even find a Trump defender who will say, oh yeah, I think the things run the up and up with Trump.
Right.
Back at the Trump Organization. I mean, even people who like Trump are basically like, yeah, he ran a scam, but whatever. He's more clever than the deep state. So that's why we like him. It's nice to have a little bit of accountability here. Let squeeze a few more pennies out of him.
Yeah. Anyway, pro South Carolina. Glad to be done with Iowa. Iowa progressives were not, I think, this is just a better early state for Democrats. Makes more sense.
Oh.
So I have something I want to talk about, which is this. So today, one of the big things that happened is they presented Michael Fanone and some of the other officers in the January 6th trial. I believe it's a gold star.
Congressional gold medal.
Congressional gold medal for their bravery on January 6th. And Kevin McCarthy.
I wrote about this in my newsletter today.
I read it.
Did you read it?
Yeah, I want to talk about that. This is what I want to talk about. It is astonishing to listen to Kevin McCarthy's speech about honoring these brave men and women who defended the Capitol. And the best, I like my civil politics. I like it when people are civil. Mm. I like it when we find ways to move on. I do. But Officer Sicknick's family, as they went to shake hands, refused to shake Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy's hand. His family did. And I don't blame them one bit. And I heard an interview where somebody's saying, don't you think in this context you should have shaken their hands? Because Mitch has got his hand out there. He really wants to shake their hands. And they were like, no. They resurrected Trump. They didn't do anything about Trump. And I was, yeah, they're right. I would just like to say they're correct. And the cynical, watching Kevin McCarthy talk about honoring these people after he went down and resurrected Trump after Mar-a-Lago refused to convict him. He's disgusting.
Didn't someone explain to them that these guys are the team normal Republicans and that that Mitch McConnell gave a very strongly worded speech on the floor of the Senate? Yeah, maybe someone should talk some sense into those
families.
Also,
Sicknick truthers are some of the worst people who are like,
ugh.
They're like, he didn't die from January 6th. It was because the medical examiner was inconclusive. They said he died of pre-existing, I'm like, you think this healthy dude on duty dies of a heart attack without getting bear sprayed and manhandled at this? It's insane. Anyway.
Coincidence. Just a coincidence. They happen to die the next day. No, fuck all those people. And good on, they have the clarity, the Sicknick family and Fanone, who I love, and all of them, Gunnell, Harry Dunn, of having these guys number, right? They know what they did. They know what their job was. They know what people who acted honorably in the face of that big threat, how they acted. and they see clearly who did it, right? And it's like, you know, a lot of times we get stuck in our, you know, where you get into these political bullshit arguments where you're trying to kind of wade through all the BS and the spin and be like, ah, oh, who can we, you know, throw a bone to, et cetera. And it's like, for them, it was black and white, right? And you know, Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell's maneuvering, like, isn't good enough. And I think that's clear. And I'm happy that they were recognized. I think that history will look very kindly on them and very poorly on Kevin McCarthy. And so I thought it was a very nice moment.
And that's why these families have to support Ron DeSantis in 2024. It's a binary choice, and they've got a moral obligation to do it. All right, listen, it's been a good show, long show. Everybody, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, go and leave us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, because those things help. Believe it or not.
Don't have any other chatter? You don't have any kind of like anniversary, you know, a little behind the scenes? Is there going to be a little some snuggling?
This isn't the show for that. However, when we do our event in Seattle with Dan Savage of Savage Love, maybe I'll bring out some questions. Maybe I'll go for some advice.
January 21st, put it on the calendar.
Can we mention that real quick? We're doing an event. The three of us are going out to hang with Dan Savage, and we're going to do this in Seattle. My brother's in Seattle. I'm super excited to go see him. Anybody who is in the Seattle area should come out and hang with
us. Tell us about your brother. Is he younger brother, older?
Younger brother.
Does he share your interests?
What are JVL's interests?
My brother owns a boat.
I don't know. His interests are, okay, his interests are movies, watches, internecine Catholic disputes, wordsmithing.
I'll give you this real quick. So about 7 years ago, 8 years ago, my brother emails me and my sister at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the subject header is, I just bought a boat. Mm. And he's gone and bought a 42 foot, everyman's yacht, a sort of historic power boat that he keeps on whatever the lake is out there. Is it Lake Powell in Seattle? And
it's not like,
anyway, it's Union. I think it's Union Lake. Yeah. Not Lake Powell. That's Nevada. I had never in my life known that my brother was interested in yachting. And he lives the kind of, responsibility free life where, you know, going and purchasing a large boat is a kind of thing you can do.
So you're saying your brother's butcher than you? He's a little butcher. Like if his photo was on the marquee instead of yours, it would have a little less of a gay magician vibe and a little bit more of like I like to fish.
I don't know. It was like a butcher. I mean, he's got like 2% body fat because he doesn't have children and can work out whenever he wants. So he's in tremendous shape. Yeah, I'm just saying he's not encumbered by a great many responsibilities.
I'm excited. He's a good guy. I'm excited to meet him. And all of you guys. Come on out. Make a little weekend of it. It's a Saturday. Come out so we can see the Space Needle.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Seattle's a great town.
Oh, it's going to be so uncomfortable.
Why?
What?
Him
what
do you and mean Dan Savage so are going to talk about sex the whole time.
Well, I can hardly wait.
I have some questions.
I'm going to have to leave the room.
Do I get to ask the first question?
Part will be with just us, you know, so we'll just hang out. It'll just be a next level thing. And then you can go to the back of the room, have a cocktail or two, and choose to listen to the penis talk or not.
Maybe Dan Savage will have some questions for you, Sarah.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I think it'll be a lovely evening.
All right. Guys, thanks for being with us. We'll be back again next week. Bye.
Bye.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit Lowe's.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.